Hi, welcome to Subway Sagas. I'm Sean Duffy.
And I'm Sharon Capitula.
And we are two 30-somethings who are recovering from our trip to Buenos Aires and adjusting back to American life.
By being diffused by my new diffuser that I just bought, because I feel like every time I go on a trip, I always get these ridiculous, like, oh man, once I get home, I need to do this, I need to do that. So the first one started when I went to Italy in March, and I had a lot of mirrors in my bathroom, and I was like, oh man, I'm getting cellulite in my old age. Got to get myself a massager scrub. So since then, I've been working every day in the shower on my cellulite. So this trip, I decided that I wanted my entire apartment to smell like a fresh budded rose. So I bought myself a diffuser with lavender oil.
And what inspired that from this trip?
Oh, we went to a high tea.
We did.
It was very fancy. Very the fanciest fancy. Hotel in the city, I think. And the entire place, you walked in, you were just like smacked in the face with a rose. I mean, it was just like, and there was gold everywhere and marble, and it was so fabulous. So I'm like, what if my tenement apartment smelled like this? That'd be fabulous. So I bought myself a diffuser on Amazon.
It was delightful, and it was such a deal, too. It was about $18 a person with the conversion rate. It was amazing.
I feel like you were jumping right into this topic.
And Sharon rocked her DOT shirt.
I did. I was wearing my New York Department of Transit shirt, XXL.
Yes. Men's. Rocked street style at that high tea.
Exactly. They did not want to let us in, but we used the bathroom before they even knew we were patrons. So we owned that situation. So
that's just a teaser of the...
T-E-A.
Yes. Of the BA life, or Buenos Aires life, that we're going to talk about this episode.
Thank you, Sean. Thank you for explaining the acronym to our listeners.
Right, just so they know, when we say BA, that's what we're referring
Buenos
to.
Buenos Aires.
If they're not in the know. But before we get into that, it's time for everybody's favorite.
News of the week. Which is not actually related to Buenos Aires. And in hindsight, I probably should have gotten some local news. But alas, here I am with a New York Times article. So I guess I will jump right in. My article is called, Miss Subways is Back. This Ooh. Year, a new wave rocker takes the crown.
Miss Subways.
Miss Subways.
I didn't know that was a thing.
I know. I was very intrigued when I saw this because I didn't either. So reading into the article, it turns out that the Miss Subway pageant was something that was happening for about 35 years, ending in 1976, which is very much like a local girl next door beauty pageant contest where they would show the winners on the trains.
Oh, cool.
So it's like more of a traditional beauty pageant.
Yeah.
However, the new version of Miss Subways kind of takes a different angle for it.
Uh-huh.
Apparently, it restarted a couple years back during one of those terrible summers of hell on the subway,
mm-hmm.
where it turned into something that was a bit more gender inclusive and poking more fun at the whole beauty pageant life. So you've got all different sorts of people entering, from older women to transgender to like all different types, drag
nice.
Queens, all of that. So this last pageant took place in Gowanus,
nice.
Which makes a lot of sense.
Yes.
There was someone who came in with an IKEA bag wrapped around her like a large diaper. And she said, I love all of the subways, but the G is my favorite because the G has the largest amount of dogs in bags. Don't look that up. It is a fact.
That's what she said. That's what she said.
Quote. Yeah, direct quote. And they amazing. Have other funny like karaoke songs where they do puns with names and all that.
Yeah.
So it sounds like a really fun time.
We gotta go to this next year.
I know. I would really like to go to this. It sounds hilarious. The winner was Ms. Greenberg, a trans woman who wore a leopard crop top and low-cut leather pants.
Okay.
She said if she were presented the crown, she would melt it and smear it on her body. The crown was made of a wreath of plastic rats, troll dolls, and rhinestone unicorns.
This is amazing.
Fabulous. Yeah. So we have to check that out next week. So big.
We need to check it out next year. I am so upset that we missed it.
I know. It's okay. Every
year. I can't even imagine. They should really be like... broadcasting this throughout the subway.
So
those like digital
signs
that they have
on
the G train.
I feel like the G train is the right venue for this.
Absolutely. So my news of the week is from the New York Post.
Of course.
It is also New York centric. However, it is airport related, which is tangentially related to our topic.
Of course.
We're talking about summer air travel. This was about the New York Post putting Uber's new copter service to
oh
the
gosh.
Test.
Oh
have you heard about this?
Yeah. I talked about the copter service in one of our News of the Week episodes.
Oh, you did? You did mention it, yeah. So they were testing out the copter service to JFK. Also, which is very convenient for us, the test was they had two of their reporters race. One took the copter service and one took the subway.
The Z-Train.
And not the Z-Train. Well, actually, they didn't specify. I'm just assuming not the Z-Train.
The Z-Train's a faster train to go.
Oh, no, they didn't specify. I'm sorry. It's not the Z-Train. And definitely not the Z-Train. And they were meeting at the TWA hotel at
no
JFK.
Way.
That's where
fabulous.
That's where their endpoint was.
Can you imagine Ubercoptering to the TWA hotel?
I know.
That is luxury at its finest. Can you define that word in the Merriam-Webster?
That is baller.
Yes.
Okay, so the article gives away who won right away. I'm not going to give it away. I'm going to talk through what happened.
And
you'll find out who won.
Suspense.
Okay, suspense. All right, so the Ubercopter service costs $200 to $225. However, they only pick up for the copter service.
Is it Wall Street down there?
Yeah, down in Lower Manhattan.
Mm-hmm.
So below... Houston Street, which makes sense.
Got it.
Okay. But this race was starting from Midtown. So the reporter who was taking the copter service had to take a regular old Uber down to Lower Manhattan, then got out of the cab, and then had to get another cab that's part of the copter service, another Uber, I should say, and that brings them to the helipad. They're already off to a bad start because they're taking Uber all the way downtown, and it took 24 minutes to get down there and cost $30.67.
No, thank you.
Oof. All right,
were they allowed to take the subway to get down there, though?
They could, yeah, because they can get there any way they want. Yeah. But they decided to take the
Uber. Well, that was a mistake.
Yeah. Although, I mean, from Midtown to get down there, 24 minutes, probably not that much faster on the subway.
Just saying.
Got to factor in wait time, all that. So, and that cost of $30 is in addition to the $200 you're paying for the Uber copter.
I know.
All right, okay. Then you get to the, then you have to get another Uber to the helipad. Then when you get to the helipad, you gotta sit through a 2-minute safety video. Then you get to board the helicopter.
Okay.
And Uber advertises this service as a 6-minute ride from Lower Manhattan to JFK. They said that proved to be true.
Okay.
However, it was a very bumpy, choppy ride. Made them feel a little bit nauseous. And the pilot was not very friendly, I will say.
All right.
It wasn't like being, you know, like, oh, there's the Brooklyn Bridge. Like, was that, like, pointing out things?
Well, I mean, he's not a tour guide. Right. What are you expecting from him, Sean?
Well, I'm not. I'm
just saying. You want to be the New York water taxi? Like, come on.
I'm just saying what the article pointed out, okay? So the New York Post is getting sassy
Sean
here.
Sean has no criticizing him.
However, they were also saying that the reporter tried to engage with the helicopter pilot, and he was having none of it.
That seems dangerous. He's piloting busy. A helicopter.
He's a busy man. Although they did say that the views were beautiful. Okay, so then the helicopter lands at JFK, then they had to take another Uber to get to the TWA hotel from where it landed at JFK. All right, so they started at 1:15.
Okay.
That's when the race started, and they got to the finish line at 2:40 p.m.
Oh, no, so you can get there faster on the subway.
1 hour and 25 minutes.
Okay.
All in, okay? You have the other reporter who takes the subway for a grand total cost of $7.75.
We know that.
$2.75 for the subway ride.
We know.
$5
we know.
For the
we
air
know.
Train.
We know.
Okay. They decide to take the F train from Midtown.
Uh-huh.
They take that out into Queens.
Switch to the
transferred at Forest Hills. So they did admit they lucked out and the F train came right away.
Mm-hmm.
Then they got to Forest Hills, transferred to the E train. They had to wait 6 minutes for that.
That's normal.
It's par for the course. Par for the course. Okay.
That's a healthy way.
Right. So they transfer there to take it to JFK, Suffern Boulevard. Then they have to take the air train.
Got it.
Okay. Well, spoiler alert.
Yep.
They arrived at 2:37 p.m.
Nice!
So they beat the helicopter by 3 whole minutes, and that was including a leisurely 20-minute stroll from the Terminal 5 air train stop to the TWA hotel.
Yeah,
it's
you can
a pretty long walk.
In a 10 if you want.
Yeah, sorry, I shouldn't have said 20. It's 12 minutes. 12-minute walk, they said.
Yeah,
okay?
Say, yeah.
Yeah, so that's about right. If you were just going to the airport, not that TWA hotel, they would have beat them by like 15 minutes.
Yeah.
Because you wouldn't have that 12-minute walk to get to the TWA hotel. So basically, this was saying that if you're coming from Midtown, subway is the way to go. F that Uber copter, okay?
Well, even beyond the 12 minutes, see, what, like $250 that's worth it for me as well.
Right, if you're spending that much money, you probably want to save a significant amount of time.
Also, like, at that point, if they took 35 minutes to get, no, it's $35 to get downtown, like, at that point, just take an Uber the entire way,
right.
And that would have been faster and cheaper, because, let's say you're going to spend $60 on that Uber.
Right.
So I feel like there should have been a third party that just gotten an Uber in Midtown and was like, please take me to JFK.
And they probably would have won overall.
They would have won by far. The best value and time.
That would have been the Goldilocks solution, if you will.
Yes, exactly.
Okay. So just the right amount of price for just the right amount of arrival time.
Well, for me, just the right amount of price was
$7.75.
Yeah, and I gripe about the $5 air train, all right, I get what you're saying.
All right, but that's a good segue into our topic about Buenos Aires.
Buenos Aires! Because
we're going to start by talking about our flight experience.
All right, so Sean, do you want me to go first?
What about you? You had the more eventful flight there.
I know, it's like Sean just got on a plane and got there.
Yeah, pretty much.
So what makes me so excited about going to Buenos Aires, besides it being an amazing city, is how freaking easy it is to get there. So from New York City, we're blessed where there are several options to do a nonstop flight down there.
Mm-hmm.
It's about 11 hours, and the awesome part, at least for my flight, was it left, or it was supposed to leave, at around like 9:30, and then get in at about like 8:30 in the morning, which is really awesome because, yeah, it's a red eye, which sucks, but any time you're going abroad, you basically have a red eye. And then it's only a 1 hour time difference, so it gets you very easily to where you need to go. So me being stupid, I feel like I have this problem, like, whenever I know there's going to be a flight, like, my whole day is a little bit shot, because you're like, oh, I got to go to the airport,
Right, can't do too much.
Can't do too much. I'm like, don't want to be crazy, just got to, like, pack and get supplies and all that. So my flight was on a Saturday going out there, and it was supposed to be at, like, 9:30. And so I hadn't really planned anything for the day beyond just, like, going to the gym in the morning, going to the grocery store. And then at, like, 2 p.m., I get this email from United being like, yo, your plane is late. And I'm like, cool, thanks for telling me 7 hours in advance. It's not actually until, like, 11:30.
Right. Which is actually nice. You're being sarcastic.
Nice. Yeah. But yes, of course, I'd rather know at 2 p.m. than when I'm at the airport.
Right, already,
Already there. Yeah. And it was really confusing. So I'm like, okay, that's fine. But all day, United kept emailing me, being all like, your plane has a mechanical issue, we're switching it. And I'm like, is it a new plane that has a mechanical issue? Right. Is it the one from Honolulu? And I'm still unclear what plane I got on, because there was one plane coming from Honolulu that was late, and there was one plane coming from Prague that I think had a mechanical issue.
Yeah.
Or maybe it was one in the same. So I don't know what plane I got on, but they just kept emailing me, and every time I was freaking out, I'm like, did it get pushed back more?
Right.
And then I was going a little bit stir crazy. I got like cabin fever in my apartment because with a flight at 11:30 p.m., I'm like, I don't need to leave until like 9 p.m. to get down there.
That's when you normally go to bed. So it's like you had a full day.
And I shared this bed at 9 p.m. I was like, what do I do? So I was just watching TV and I somehow ate all of the food in my house.
Okay, well, that's good before
it, it was not good though. I was like very, very sick on the plane.
Oh,
like,
not perishables. Yeah, yeah.
Yeah, and like... So I finally am on my way down there. And then here's another thing. So I took the long way to get to Newark, which is taking the subway to Penn Station, New Jersey Transit, to the airport. A stupid thing about New Jersey Transit, one of the many things, is they have like very inconsistent schedules. It's not like every 10 minutes or every 15 minutes. They'll sometimes go like an hour without a train. So this is one of those bad situations where there was a train at like 8:15 p.m. that goes to New Jersey. And then there were no more trains until like 9:02. And in my mind, I'm like, oh, people commute. Like, no one's going to be on this train. No, I forgot about the 5 billion people from New Jersey who come into the city for the day with kids that want to go home.
Oh, God.
So I get to Penn Station, and it is a train wreck. Not a literal train wreck. Right. That's a bad word to use.
Shit show.
Shit show. A cluster. Yes. It was a mess. And so I ended up actually, like, skipping the first train because I had a little bit of buffer, and I was like, I don't want to get on with all these people.
Right.
Didn't really help. Second train was also packed. So it was a very miserable experience.
And you have a lot of luggage. You're going on a week-long vacation.
Yeah, exactly. Like, it was, like, super crazy. But I feel like I was in a not good mindset getting there because I'm like, why is my plane so delayed? What plane am I getting on? Is it going to get canceled again? It was so crazy. In the meantime, Sean got on his flight, like, very easily, like, 4 p.m.
No problem. Well, and then also, you got that other weird email from them that was like, your flight is slightly less delayed.
Oh my gosh, I forgot about that. Yeah, so I'm sitting in, I feel like I was already at the airport in the lounge.
Yeah.
And they sent me this email. It's like, oh yeah, your flight is less delayed. I'm like, dude, thank you for telling me now. I mean, like, thank God I'm at the airport already. But it was like missed his flight.
It was like a 15-minute difference though, right?
Yeah. And why even bother? Right before it was boarding time too. Yeah. So I'm like, at this point, just send me an email saying like, oh, your plane is boarding early.
Yes.
Slightly less delayed. Not fun. You never want to find out it's less delayed.
And there was a shit show at Jersey Transit. You said there was also a shit show in pandemonium at the gates for your flight as well.
Oh yeah, you can tell you're going to South America. Like, I feel like there's like less regulations in general.
Okay.
I feel like there's like a certain amount of order that are normal when you're like traveling within the U.S.
Yes.
That I think is different than in other countries.
Right.
So at my gate, I like go up there just to check where the gate is before I go to the lounge. And there's just this mass of people at the desk like yelling and stuff. And I'm like, what's going on? And I don't think they were trying to get seats or anything. I think they were just like absolutely no order.
I also left for Buenos Aires on Saturday. And you may be wondering why Sharon and I took different flights. And we were leaving from the same place.
You both know that we have our airline alliances.
Do they know that? They may know about
you. I think they do. Okay, dude, well, I am United Star Alliance for life.
Yes, and I am a Delta Sky Miles person. So I flew on a Delta partner flight.
I know. You're so lucky. I'm jealous.
Aerolíneas Argentinas.
You're such a dude. Argentinas.
Or as they're referred to locally down there, just Aerolíneas. Because they don't have to add the Argentinas to that. So my really only confusion with mine was that I booked it through Delta, and then once you book it, because it's like one of their maybe like secondary or tertiary partners, you can't really do anything else through the app.
Nope.
It's just like, we can't load a seat map, contact the airline, but like you don't have your reservation number or anything through them, so you have to call Delta to get that.
And we're worried you're in the IRA, so you have like 4 extra checkpoints.
Exactly. So then I get that information so I can check through Aerolíneas, and it didn't matter because I couldn't update my seat on that anyway.
Whatever.
But it all worked out. I was at Terminal 7 at JFK, which was like a newer experience for me. I'm not used to that terminal.
I'm used to that one. It's where ANA flies out of.
Yes, and also British Airways. It's like the main airline that flies out of there.
ANA is the only airline I care about.
Yes. But it was actually great because it's a very small terminal, so very easy to check my bag and get through security. I'm used to Terminal 4, which I love because of the double Shake Shack action.
Yep.
But that terminal is a cluster.
It's miserable for security.
It's probably the biggest terminal at JFK, I think.
In the world, maybe.
It's in the world. Bold statement, but that is, it's a huge terminal.
It's a fact, don't check it.
Yes, it's a fact, don't check it. So my flight there was quite smooth. The main disappointment was there were no Melissa McCarthy movies on the flight. I'm a big fan of Melissa McCarthy movies on long
both
flights.
Both ways. I'm going to spoil this both ways. Both ways. I didn't get any.
None. At least the way back on Delta, it had Identity Theft. Well, I've already seen that. So
did you watch it a second time?
I did not. I highly recommend that movie for anybody. Right. Like Jason Bateman, Melissa McCarthy, pure comedic gold.
I love like airline movies, exactly. So like I had a lovely, like United, hats off to your selection. Yeah. So I tweeted this and maybe you guys saw it. But along with like a bunch of new movies and movies I actually wanted to watch, they also had a couple of my favorite airline movies, or just favorite movies in general, being The Sound of Music and The Shining. Shining is my favorite movie of all time.
That's an amazing movie to have on a plane, too. It's so good. That's unexpected.
It's long. It's a long movie. It's you are engaged. Yes. And it actually made me buy my Halloween costume.
Right.
So I'm going to spoil. So I told everyone I was going to be a Z-Train conductor, and I was planning for a long time, but I was like, I couldn't get my stuff together. And, you know, true reason, I couldn't find out how to buy an MTA patch. Right. And that's so crucial.
Which we thought was a missed opportunity. However, you brought up a good point, maybe for a good reason.
They probably don't want people, like, cosplaying as MTA conductors. Right. It seems, like, really dangerous for the safety of New York.
That could wreak havoc. That could definitely wreak havoc.
So, instead, I'm going to be Danny. I don't want to spoil too much. If you've seen The Shining, you know he's very iconic in the different sweaters and stuff he wears. He's, like, a very 70s-looking child. And I, of course, immediately looked on the internet, can I buy something that's similar? And I found a really good recreation, but of course, it's already October, so like, this is a person that hand makes them.
Right.
So I emailed them, and they're like, we don't have time to hand make one, but we do have one left in stock, if you want it. And I'm like, oh, cool, what size is it? So I may or may not have bought a men's triple extra large sweater.
Oh my gosh!
So we're just gonna see. We're just gonna see how it works, especially because it's all like tight fit in the 70s, so I'm not gonna really look nanny, but I'm gonna make it work.
That's amazing. Yeah. Triple extra.
And Tony.
You're going to be swimming in that.
I can't wait. I photos to come. Yes. Can't wait. Anyways, we are getting so off track. Buenos Aires. Let's talk about the city.
Well, just to close out the flight topic.
Yes. My God, okay. John, how much more do you have?
Well, we have to talk about the return flights really quick because there's an important update I have for you on my return flight.
Oh, I didn't know about this.
Before I get into that, just about the timing of the flights. Yes. Sharon's flight was great timed. Mine was totally illogical. Left at 4:30 p.m., arrived at 4:30 a.m., who the fuck wants to arrive at 4:30 a.m. anywhere?
Especially because I've been bragging to everyone. I'm like, oh, it's so perfect. It's basically just like a bad night's sleep. And then you're in there at like perfect timing.
So I ended up booking the hotel for an extra night just so I could go to the hotel and sleep. Which worked out because the hotel was cheap and great. We'll get more into that later.
1828 Smart Hotel.
And the best part of my flight there was the dessert that came with my dinner. Which was this delicious like cake flan-like thing with a dulce de leche frosting.
Yum,
dulce de leche is like the dessert of Buenos Aires and of Argentina. It was amazing.
Argentina.
Yes. So, but just to close out, on the flights back, we had uneventful flights back, thankfully. Mm-hmm. But speaking of confusing emails from airlines, one of the days we're at breakfast in Buenos Aires, and I get this email from Delta being like, select your meal. And I'm like, what the hell is
John
going on?
John was very excited. He like interrupts our conversation. Yes, I'm like, wait. He'd be like, oh, what is this?
What is this?
Would I like a quiche?
from the Delta culinary team. Like, what is going on?
Oh, was I upgraded?
I didn't draw that connection. The chair's like, you must have been upgraded if they're asking you about your meal.
Was I?
Because my flight there was direct. My flight back was on Delta, so it actually had a layover in Atlanta. So I ended up being upgraded to first class on the flight from Atlanta to LGA, and they were asking me what I wanted for my breakfast choice. So I'm like, oh, this is great. Quiche or smoked salmon. So let me click through and try to choose the option. Well, Delta was well-intentioned, but then I go to click, and it says, we cannot process your request right now.
I know, and then Chuck got real stressed out, because, like, look, quiche is a good option. Salmon, not so good of an option. It had, like, capers all over it. I feel like there's, like, mustard on it.
There's no mustard.
Like, all the things I hate in life.
No capers. Oh, yeah, there were capers. Okay, so then I get on the flight, and I'm wondering, like, oh, am I going to have options? And I'm in the third row, and I hear her talking to the...
First class. Right, third row of first class.
Yes, literally the third row of the plane.
I know.
So then she's talking to people in front of me, asking what they want for breakfast. She's like, oh, I see you've already entered your selection. You want the quiche. And I'm like, oh boy, what's going to happen now? So she gets to me and she asks what I want, and I made a game time decision and I switched to the salmon.
What?
I got the salmon instead of the quiche. After all that.
You're so stressed.
I got the salmon.
Like, you can't do that. You already requested the quiche. Well, you gotta fuck somebody else over.
And I was very excited, or happy with my choice, I should say, because I saw that quiche come out. That quiche did not look good. Not a good looking quiche.
It was a gray.
It was like a big slice of quiche. I was thinking like an individual quiche, you know, like a round quiche. Nope, big slice of quiche.
Feelings personal quiches only.
Exactly. And then the salmon was delightful. All right, so it was a great choice. It came with those like little Russian pancake type things. Remember?
Oh yeah, the Belinsky's or whatever. that word I can't say.
Right. It was delicious. So I knew you would appreciate knowing that I opted not to get the quiche last minute. Upset.
After all that, it was a production. He was supposed to talk about the entire morning. He's like, oh, am I going to get my quiche from in first class?
And then I forgot the other important part, which was when it said it didn't work, when I selected it online, it was like, please call us for further assistance. I was like, fuck this, I'm not going to call about my quiche. That's ridiculous.
Sean goes to the bathroom and calls about the quiche.
Can you imagine calling an airline about the quiche? I want to make sure I get that quiche. I got to claim my quiche.
I've been upgraded to first class on the flight from Atlanta to LaGuardia.
And I need to make sure I have my broccoli quiche.
Thank God.
All right. So now let's actually talk about BA.
Yeah, 22 minutes in.
Yes.
So Buenos Aires, as I mentioned, is such a fabulous city. And like, I didn't really know what to expect. I know a few people who've gone and loved it. But what I thought was so incredible about it is it essentially is like a European city that's like a third of the cost of a European city, or like an American city for that matter.
Right.
And we ended up staying with some great advice in a neighborhood called Palermo, which felt very much like hipster, Brooklyn-y, Williamsburg, right, whatever you want to call it. And there were literally no tourists there. It felt like it was entirely locals, or maybe there were some Brazilian tourists there, I guess.
Yes, yes.
But like, it was so rare to hear anyone speaking English, right, natively or non-natively for that matter. So thank God Chad was there because he was speaking Espanol, and the best of them.
Palermo is a very big neighborhood, we learned. Yeah. And we were actually in a subsection of it called Palermo Soho,
which is, I think, the classier side. Yes. I highly recommend.
It felt that way. And it almost reminded us of Soho, New York a little bit because it had all the like nice shopping, mm-hmm, lots of tons of cafes and nice restaurants. One of the nicest restaurants in the city, mm-hmm, Don Julio, that we went to.
Yeah, 23 on the 50 best restaurants in the world, yes, 2019. What up?
And it's a Paria, which is basically like, or a Parija, if you say it the Porteños do, or the local people in BA. And so it's basically a big steakhouse. Yep. And we had a great time, a lovely dinner. Got there when it opened to light up.
Yep.
There was one little mishap during dinner when Sharon got overly enthused about something and slammed down her wine glass and broke the stem.
Not the first time I've broken the stem on a wine glass, I'll tell you that much.
But the waiter just thought it was funny.
Yeah, and it's never about being drunk. It's just I have a strong grip.
Strong grip, and you were...
I don't know my own strength.
You were being very authoritative when you put your glass down.
I was having a good life conversation. Right.
We weren't in a fight or anything. No. She wasn't mad at me. No. She was just very authoritative just when she put life. It down.
But the good part about it as well is even though we ate all of our meat, I was upset because they gave us a new bread right before we left. And so I was like, can we take the bread to go?
Yeah.
And a little bit confused. And instead of giving me the current bread, they actually gave me two whole new loaves of bread.
Right, because the breads were like four little rolls that were connected, and we had
ate all of them.
We had one of the new ones, so there was three left.
Yeah.
So she just wanted to take those three home.
I don't know why. Like, why is that such a weird request? Because I've had a lot of guff from this. I remember I used to go out to dinner with my dad when I lived in California, and like, I was at this fancy restaurant in Silicon Valley, and the exact same thing. They're like, why do you want to take the bread home? I'm like, why do you want to throw the food away? It's still good food, just because I didn't eat all the bread. Like, look, I don't want to eat a freaking loaf of bread when I'm at a steakhouse.
You know where they don't give you any guff for taking the bread home? Red Lobster.
Olive Garden.
I don't know what Olive Garden, but Red Lobster, and it's encouraged to take those Cheddar Bay biscuits home with you, okay?
That's different, though. That's like what they're known for.
Exactly, that's what they're known for. Whereas Don Julio is known for like steaks and wines, and Sharon was like, it's just like, and bread.
And pawn, if you will, being all Espanol.
Casa de pawn.
Yeah. So that was delicious. And on top of that, like, this trip was super chill. Everyone keeps being like, oh, did you go to Patagonia? I'm like, no, that takes so much effort and planning. Yeah. And like, that sounds incredible, and I do want to do that. This trip was not about that. This trip was like, let's go to every cafe in Palermo.
Yes.
And read a book.
Our favorite book, which Sharon had on her Kindle and literally read aloud to me.
Exactly.
In all these cafes. Story time.
Like, Sean, I could be like, hey, bring all this stuff with you, because we're going to spend all of our time in cafes, because we're going to live that hashtag cafe life. And I don't know, I guess he brought one book with him, but then I felt badly because I had my book all the time. So I was like, oh, do you want me to like read aloud to you? And so it was a book called, what was it, The Last Tango? No.
No, The Tango Dancer. It's called
Tango Singer.
Sharon kept referring to it as The Last Tango throughout the trip. Just checked it now. It is The Tango Singer.
It's a Tango Singer. Yes. And it was a
very strange book.
It's a strange book. So no spoilers. We didn't actually finish it. We got 70% of the way through with me reading aloud to Sean. So I can't actually go back and look because I'm unsure if it's a true crime book. It's not even a crime. But if it's like true crime style or if it is fiction.
Because it has so many random tangents in it.
It has all these tangents. It reads like a true crime book.
Yeah.
So unsure. We're going to look it up afterwards.
It was great, though, because it talked all about Buenos Aires.
Yeah, so like we
would be doing sightseeing and stuff and exploring around the city. Be like, oh, we read about that in the book. We heard about that in the book. It was fantastic. And it was also funny that we were sitting in all these cafes and like you were saying, pretty much everybody speaking Spanish, no English being heard. And then you just see two Americans sitting there and one of them reading aloud in English to the other one.
And very poorly, because there are so many Spanish words in the book. It's a Spanish author. And I could not pronounce any of them. I just kept stumble.
Oh, it's amazing. But the cafes there are great.
Oh my gosh, they are so fabulous. And so we wanted to live like full cafe life. So we're going to talk about the Dulce de Leche, however you said it.
Uh-huh.
And so the main thing you get there is the alfajore.
Alfajor.
Yeah, I got some shit today at work for saying that alfajor wrong.
Or
so
alfajores.
I know, multiple. Yes, I know one left was alfajor.
Right.
So that's what we love so much, which is basically cookies filled, it's like an Oreo, but with dulce de leche in the center.
Right, like a cookie sandwich with dulce de leche in the middle, yes.
And what we did not realize is it's not just alfajor or alfajores that have that. It's like everything has dulce de leche.
Like all the desserts have dulce de leche.
Mind blown. Yeah. And so it's like, I feel like going there for a week is bad because then every day you want to eat all of it. Whereas if you went for a month, you'd be like, okay, like 3 days a week, I'm going to go to a cafe and get a dulce de leche Oreo cheesecake slice. Right. Not, I'm going to do that 3 times a day because we've got nothing else to do.
Right. And I should have realized it's like halfway through the trip, but we were up somewhere by the River Tigre, which we'll talk more about in another episode.
Yeah, this is going to be like a 5-part series.
We got some free pastries with our coffee and tea, mm-hmm. and I only heard the dulce de leche in one of them, and I immediately latched onto that one. And then afterwards, I realized every single pastry we got had dulce de leche in it. And Sharon realized that, and she was like, yeah, I was wondering why you latched onto that one. They all have dulce de leche in them. Everything there does. And the other thing I will say about the cafes is that they have a great tea scene in VA.
They do.
I don't drink coffee, so I really appreciate all the different teas, extensive tea menus. They can all make an ice for me, which I love my iced tea versus hot tea. Fantastic.
And then the crown jewel of the teas in Buenos Aires is, of course, yerba mate.
Yes.
The mate tea. And so when we were going down there, we're like, we want some mate. And so we got very lucky, and I think it was like our first or second day at one of the more famous cafes downtown.
La Biela.
We got some mate, but it was funny. It was called like instant mate. And so it's cute. Like the waiters came and made it for us.
Well, yeah. It was called mate listo, which just means like ready mate or smart. Listo means both ready and smart. So we're like, we have no idea what this means. Mm-hmm. And it had a weird word next to it, and that word was the brand name.
Yeah.
So it ends up being an instant mate.
And so they made it for us, and it was, like, really fun, and we both ordered it, so we got 2 different mates.
But they brought it over, and it's literally in a plastic bag. Opened the plastic bag.
But there's so much service. Yeah. They put the sugar, and they shake it up, and they put some cold water, and they put some hot water, and they put the fancy mate straw in, which, like, keeps the leaves out, because unlike a normal tea, you actually drink the water straight out of the leaves.
Right.
And so you have to have a special type of straw that blocks those, so you're not just, like, choking up leaves.
Yes. Well, and we took our first few sips, and we're like, well, we like this, because we had heard it's kind of an acquired taste, and very interesting. We quickly realized that's because we had so much sugar or fake sweetener in it that it just tasted like sweet tea water.
I bought some for myself, so I can't wait to eat it at home. But I think one of the funnier moments is towards the end of the trip, we're like, we want to get mate again. We've only gotten it once.
Literally the last day.
It was the last day.
Because we hadn't found it anywhere else since.
Yeah, it's been very hard to find. So we finally find it at this cafe, and it's like this magical moment that we finally got it. And so Sean, doing all the ordering for us, orders us both a mate.
Right.
And so then, I'm going to have to let you tell most of the story because it happened in Spanish.
Yes.
So the woman comes back and she, like, makes Sean some mate and she, like, lets him taste it. It's like a fine wine thing where she, like, puts the amount of sugar in and lets him, like, oh, sip it up. See if you like it.
Well, she first asked, like, do you know how to make mate? And I was like, not really. So, like, she's like, okay, let me do this for you. Mm-hmm. And she did it for me, has me taste it. I say it's good. And then she, like, goes to walk away and I'm like, well, what about one for her?
Yeah, we were two.
And she was like, oh, no. Here, we share mate. Communal mate. We all drink out of one mate. And you guys probably already know this, but Sharon does not share beverages.
I do not share beverages. And I was just like, no.
This did not go over
well. I'm like, look, no is a universal language. Like, no is also in Spanish.
Right.
And so I was just like, no, I want my own. And I can be like, I'll pay for it. I will pay for it. I gave you money. I don't care.
So,
I want my own.
So we asked, oh, well, can she have another glass? And then the waitress is saying, oh, that's... She kept saying raro, which is like, that's very strange, weird. Like, that's not how we do it here.
I don't care,
And then I'm like, well, okay, at the very least, can we get a different straw? There's literally like this specific straw, like Sharon said. So we're supposed to all share one straw out of one glass. Yeah. Maybe one glass
and
I can
just
see, but different straws.
A lot. Like, he said it was allergies, but I'm like, no, I don't want this. I want my own mate.
He was asking for the straw. The waitress is like, well, that's weird. But she comes back and gives us the straw.
Yeah.
But then Sharon's like, well, I would really like my own glass.
Yes.
So we devise a plan that when the waitress comes back, I will say that, can we get another glass because I like it sweet and Sharon does not. However, the interesting part is when I am asking this, Sharon is sitting with a stack of dulce de leche pancakes in front of her and I am telling the waitress, we need another mate because Sharon doesn't like it sweet.
Sharon's diabetic. She's diabetic. She wants to drink bitter tea.
Also,
let her do her thing.
This waitress was very sassy.
She did not have it.
Because after we ordered the mate, we also ordered 2 mini alfajores.
Yes.
And then we ordered the dulce leche pancakes.
Yes.
And the savory jamoni queso ham and cheese waffles. So
waffle sandwich.
The waffle sandwich was the last thing we ordered. And after I ordered that, she was like, oh, tienen hambre. She was like, oh, you guys are hungry.
Yeah,
totally sassy.
We're diabetic.
But we're like, this was also a common theme for us in Buenos Aires. But in this case, we just ordered one, like, entree each, and the mini alfajores were tiny. They were tiny.
They were so tiny. It was like 2 bites.
Yeah, and then mate is just a tea, so we really didn't order that much food.
I didn't think so. I ate all mine.
Admittedly, it was probably because 2 of the things we ordered were giant pancakes and waffles.
Yeah, that's
so,
okay. I like pancakes. We're American. Yeah.
So anyway, our plan worked, and when I asked, I think we just wore her down at that point when I asked for the other mate.
She slammed it down in front of me.
She's like, all right. She brings another glass, and then Sharon made her mate.
Like, honestly, who does this, like, sharing even, like, a cup together and the straws together? I'm like, what are we at a frat party sharing a fishbowl? Like, what the fuck is this? Like, I don't want this. I paid money. I will give you money for this. I will give you America. American dollars. I don't care.
But she was just so offended that we even asked for more mate. And that was like the night before that at dinner, we saw this tea on the menu that we weren't familiar with. And when I looked it up, it looked like it was a mate brand. So I asked that waitress, oh, is that tea mate? And she literally stood back, looked shocked, and was like, mate? No, it's tea. It's just tea. So we were obviously very much tourists in this. Yeah. And also that day when we had at one of the cafes, it did not have mate. And we were going to another cafe after. So we asked them there, do you know a good place to get mate around here? And also flabbergasted. It was like, well, mate is common around here. I don't know where you can get it.
Yes. No one knew. Right. No one knew where to buy it.
We learned from the lovely Diego at our hotel that most people tend to drink mate at home.
Yes.
So it's less common to find out at cafes.
So... fun tip. Now we know if you need any actual mate recommendations, we can tell you where to go.
Yes.
However, do not be offensive Americans like we are and go in expecting that you will share your cup. I know I'm at fault here. I'm being sassy. Yes. I realize I'm at fault, but it was still a culture shock for me.
You're culturally insensitive. You were betraying their culture.
I am.
You're being very strange and offensive. So another part about Buenos Aires that was a little bit less fortunate for us was that we had quite inclement weather most of the time we were there. Sunday we arrived, it was gorgeous and sunny. The Saturday we left, gorgeous and sunny. Every other day was cloudy and or rainy and or windy.
Which really wasn't that bad. Like, there was only one or two days where it actually impacted us. But it was, it was definitely not ideal.
Right. And fortunately, when it rained, it didn't downpour all day, so we were okay there. However, I will say, when we were sightseeing one day in, like, the downtown area there, that wind, it was good flag weather.
It was
okay. It was like perfect flag weather.
We were in front of the palace, and there was this giant, beautiful Argentinian flag.
And the Casa Rosa, yes.
And the Casa Rosa, yes.
A giant Argentinian flag, and it was just like whooshing in the wind. It looked gorgeous.
I'm hating. Yes. The big old sun in the middle, representing the sun we could not see in the sky.
You could not ask for better flag weather. Another quintessential Argentinian thing that we did while we were there was go to a tango show.
Mm-hmm. As they are known, like the book said, they are known for tango.
Yes. Which was very fun. And our hotel helped us make the reservation.
Yeah, so I was talking to the front desk to help call for me, because I think the tango show is a place where they actually would have spoken English, but it's still easier to have them do it. And it's funny because I don't speak Spanish at all, but just like living here, I feel like I can understand quite a bit of it, especially if I know what is happening in the conversation.
Right.
And so we're like, blah, 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 blah. Sharon, capitula, capitula con ca. And I like burst out laughing. I'm like, that's right. Not a C, it's okay. So I thought that was very cute.
Yes. And we went to the tango show, and the tango shows there are all late. So we got there at like 10 o'clock.
Too late for me, I'll tell you that
much. These tango shows do dinner and a show, or you can just do the show. And we decided to just do the show because our hotel recommended, like, the food's not that good there. We did a really nice dinner somewhere else ahead of time. So we get there and we sit down, and there's bread on the table. And Sharon's very excited about the bread.
You know
about
as
we've established. Then the waiter comes over and he brings us water, and he asks what wine we want. And we said we want red wine. Then we're like, good, we can have the bread. Everything's good.
Free, yeah.
Yeah, we're all good. And then he asks what dessert we want, and we just decide to order the flan-like dessert. Okay?
Dulce de leche.
And then I go to the restroom and I run into the waiter, and he's like, oh my gosh, I'm so sorry. There was a misunderstanding. I didn't realize that you guys just booked the show. You didn't book the dinner, so I'm going to have to charge you for the wine and dessert and the water. And at this point, I'm like, whatever, it's fine, we'll do it. But really, it was a dessert and wine bait and switch. All right? They tricked us.
Why was it bait and switch? It's delicious.
Wait, what? So it ended up being fine.
But I was so happy with it.
But bait and switch in that they do it, they bring it to you as if it's free, and I'm like, oh, JK, we gotta charge you for this, all right? It was usurious business practice.
Really? I thought that it was an honest mistake. I didn't realize that. Now I feel bad.
Well, I mean,
I was fooled.
It may have been an honest mistake.
I was fooled.
It may have been an honest mistake. I thought it was a little bit sketchy. However, we were like, who knows how much they're gonna charge in a place like this? It ended up being a reasonable charge.
It was.
So not too bad.
I really like the bread.
Yeah.
I almost ate Sean's when we went to the bathroom.
Yes, but thankfully she did not. The tango show was great. And then before the tango show started.
I know where they tried to
be a little unsavory. So they took our picture.
Yep.
And we're like, oh, whatever. So at the end of the tango show, they drop it off in one of those stupid, like, papery frame things that you get at, like, a Disneyland or something
like that.
They
hand it to everyone while you're sitting at the table.
Yeah, so we're like, oh, that's nice. They give it to you for free. Like, what a nice treat. So as we're walking out, the photographer is standing there, and he sees me carrying the photo, and he says, oh, the photos are $10.
No.
So then I just immediately go, no gracias, and I just shove it at him, and we walk out.
That's hilarious, because Sean had already bent the folder. I don't know how he destroyed it so badly.
All right, because the photo was in a folder, and I had it like under my arm as I was waiting for you.
It was all bent, sweaty.
And it was all bent, and I just shove it back at him, and he gave me like the dirtiest look
that
I was not buying that photo. And he had a whole wad of American cash in his hands, like everybody else who bought the photo except us.
No, 100%. That's just like when people, panhandlers, have a couple of coins.
And also, in the photo, Sharon's mouth was full of bread.
It was not an attractive photo. Right. Would not have paid $10.
We would have gladly taken it for free.
I didn't even want it for free.
But not for money. Now, the way that we got around Buenos Aires.
So we did take the subway a little bit. We're actually saving that for a second episode. So that's why we haven't talked about subway yet. FYI. Exactly.
However, when we were not taking the subway or public transit, we were using the taxis there. Mm-hmm. And this is because Uber is actually illegal in Buenos Aires.
And it's super scary. When we're doing research beforehand, there are all these photos of like exploded Uber carcasses because the taxi drivers are like, no gracias, speaking of that. So it's like blow up Ubers. So you have to be super careful when you're taking them.
Yes. And when you would take an Uber, which we only did about 2 times, you got to sit in the front. One of you has to sit in the front. Yeah. It has to seem like, you know, your we're friends bros. Know each other. Exactly.
Yes, best bros.
However, in the research I had done beforehand and I read about not using Uber, I got a pro tip to use the app called BA Taxi.
Yes.
So it's basically the city of Buenos Aires has made their own taxi hailing app because they disallow Uber. So I was using that the whole time. It ended up being quite convenient because you can book your taxi that way. You know, you're getting a legit one, comes to get you. You put in where you're going, which helps with the language barrier thing because you can put that in right away. Don't have to say it to the driver. The app worked pretty well for us. However, I will say it was not the smoothest functioning app.
No, exactly. Please describe what happened every time you tried to order one.
Yes. Okay. So you would book the taxi and it would say, Buscando taxi cerca tuyo. So this little spinning circle comes up around a cab.
Like, I'm going to have nightmares about that spinning cab.
Yeah, that basically means looking for taxis near you. You know, about like 40% of the time, we just get stuck there.
We were on foreign service.
Exactly. So we're great at our hotel when we were on Wi-Fi. Yeah. Otherwise, it was like a little bit hit or miss. So eventually, you'd get the taxi to come. But then it would, just like with Uber, it's like, oh, your driver's 3 minutes away, or whatever it is. And it has a little map and shows the cab and shows where you are. However, the cab on the map would never move.
Nope.
Just sat there. And I would literally have to force close the app and reopen it to get to see, okay, now it's 2 minutes away versus 3 minutes away and the cab moved a little bit, but would not move unless I closed and reopened the app every time.
To be perfectly honest, it's not that much more frustrating than an Uber, though.
Right.
Because it always starts with Uber saying it's 3 minutes away.
Yeah.
Like 15 minutes later, still like driving in circles like the wrong direction.
Exactly.
So this way, I feel like they at least came the right direction. You just had to force close the app to see it.
Right. With Uber, it's more like
and
driver
more
error.
Accurate, too. I feel like the timing was actually more accurate.
It was quite accurate.
Taxi,
I will say that.
Uber.
And you can also pay with cards through the app, but then that ended up being buggy too, so I would mostly pay in cash later. But overall, if you are going to BA, I do recommend using that app. It's all in Spanish, but it's pretty easy to figure out because it's just general like taxi stuff.
What was the message that popped up every single time you opened the app?
Oh, yes. It was basically saying that your taxi is en camino, is on the way.
Yeah.
And you'd have to hit like entendido, understood. But because I had to keep force closing the app and reopening it, it would say that every time.
That's so annoying.
Just when I would see if the cab was on its way. Oh, so it was great. Because it was a very relaxing trip, we had some great hotel time and would chill and just watch some TV in the room. And we saw a lot of ads for Shark Tank Colombia.
Wait, just to reset this.
Okay, yes.
So we were watching the Sony channel most of the time, which is one of those weird channels where I'd say like 90% of the advertising is just advertising for stuff that is on that channel.
Right.
But they only had about 3 sizzle reels.
Yes, exactly. And most of the shows that they showed there were American shows.
Yes.
Like from random networks. Like How I Met Your Mother was on that channel. Simpsons, I think
they were
on that channel. The Good Doctor. And regular Shark Tank was also on that channel. However, they were really hyping up Shark Tank Colombia.
Yes.
And finally, it was the Friday that we finally got to see it because it was like, oh, a new episode.
The whole week, I was like, yes, I want to see Shark Tank Colombia.
Yes.
That's the way they say it because I still don't understand that Colombia is different than Columbia University.
Right. And Sharon didn't realize it was spelled differently either. It was a big learning experience
for her.
I knew
it was spelled differently.
Oh, you did? I thought you did.
I just didn't pronounce.
Okay. So then it's like, oh, it's going to be on a new episode at midnight on Friday.
Mm-hmm.
So we got back Friday before midnight and they actually happened to have old episodes on then. So we're so excited to watch it. Literally, like, 30 seconds in, Sharon is like, wait a minute, this isn't in English? I don't like this. Change the channel.
I can't understand. Is South Park on?
Yeah. Why isn't Shark Tank Columbia in English?
I'm just saying, it's not as exciting with A, no Barbara, and B, no, I'm out.
Yes, exactly.
And I'm like, I don't know what they're talking about. I can't understand. And then there were no subtitles, because the rest of them had Spanish subtitles.
Right.
There were no English titles. On Shark Tank Colombia, and there were no characters. It was so boring.
I will say the sharks were not as entertaining as they are on the regular Shark
Tank.
I know,
I could be like, why isn't Mark Cuban on there? Doesn't he speak Spanish? What is this? This is garbage.
We really were missing Barbara, though.
Okay, so this was just scratching the surface, so we literally are going to do at least 2 more episodes on BA.
Right, maybe 3.
Maybe more.
We keep remembering
more
things.
For the rest of our life, we might just talk about Buenos Aires.
So it might become a BA podcast, no longer a transit podcast.
Yeah, transit. However, what we do want to start out with is a new segment that we want to put on sometimes on the end of our show, which harkens back to our social media
of
Know Your Stops,
uh-huh,
which is a fun way to talk about some really cool places that you can go using public transit that where I was talking about, because I feel like we do get a pretty good sense of all the awesome places in our neighborhood in New York, and in this case, in Buenos Aires. So our very first inaugural Know Your Stop is my favorite place that we went in BA, and this is off of the B train, not to be confused with the one that goes on 6th Avenue here in New York City.
It's actually red in Buenos Aires, not red, orange like here.
Very confusing. At the Dorrego stop.
Yes.
Did I say that correctly?
You did.
Dorrego on the B train.
Yes, and it's located in Palermo, Hollywood.
Which is the less cool side of Palermo, but yeah. I think this place is going to bring it up. So this restaurant is called La Fuerza.
Mm-hmm.
And what they specialize in is they have two homemade wines, being a red and a white, that they infuse with vermouth, which I think is like vermouth.
Vermouth, yes.
I'm not fully sure.
Yeah.
But basically, they have this on tap, and the way that they mix it...
It's a vermouth wine bar,
it's
basically.
It's a vermouth wine bar, yes. And they recommend that you do, I think it was 65% wine.
Uh-huh.
And then like 35%...
Soda water.
Soda water. And then they put either an orange for red or a yellow.
A lemon.
A lemon for white.
A yellow fruit for white.
And it is the most delicious thing in the world. It was like $2 a glass, of course.
It was so good.
It was so good. It was like sangria, kind of. Oh yeah, my gosh.
Yeah, sangria quality
to
it.
So good.
So good.
And it was a fun restaurant where you had to like order off a piece of paper.
Right.
So Sean, please talk about how our ordering experience went as we tried to pick what we should eat with this lovely, lovely wine.
So we're looking at it and there's a bunch of different sections on the menu and it seems like it's like a tapas style restaurant.
Yeah, where you'd order like, because it was like $2 a dish.
Right, multiple plates. And in hindsight, you know, oftentimes in the U.S., if you're at a restaurant like that, you might ask the server, oh, how many dishes do you recommend for a party
like,
of two?
Oh, three small plates per person, because we overcharge everything.
So we go through, and I believe the first time we did it, we had about five things selected.
Five things.
Yeah. So then the server comes over and sees it, and he's talking to us in Spanish, and he's like, oh, well, for me, that's kind of a lot. You might want to like remove some stuff from there. We're like, okay.
So we took away our biggest dish, the pork dish.
Yeah, we took away the pork dish. So we have four things on there.
Mm-hmm.
Then a different server comes over, and she looks at it, and she's like, that's kind of a lot. And then she crosses out the fries.
She just crosses them out. Doesn't imagine.
Right.
Like, that's too much.
No, that's too much. No fries for you guys. So we were left with our hummus and roasted vegetables.
Oh my God. Wait, I need to stop because this is my favorite thing I ate there.
Okay.
I don't like vegetables at all. This, and I don't think they're filling.
Right.
I cannot even describe this. It was like a giant skillet of the most flavorful, crazy variety of vegetables. They had, like, was there a beet on there?
There was beet. There was
a big old beet. There was carrots.
Carrots, eggplant.
Potatoes.
Yeah.
Like.
You name it. All there. It was all there.
Maybe.
Yeah, there's some
there
zucchini.
There were probably, like, onions.
Onions, yeah.
There was a mushroom, I think.
My mushroom.
Oh my God.
Maybe tomato, and something else we had.
I there were like eight vegetables.
Yeah, so many vegetables.
It
was a huge skillet. The skillet of vegetables was larger than the hummus.
Yeah, we couldn't even finish it. I didn't even eat the hummus. I'm like, I forgot that. It's going to ruin the vegetables. Like,
it was so good.
Oh my God. Life changing.
And then we got a local cheese there that was like a baker grilled provolone type cheese with big vegetables on that, which was
all the big vegetables.
Delicious. And then we had an amazing meatball dish with fried polenta.
Yeah.
So it was very, very good. And that is true. She did say to us when the second waitress, when she was like, oh, that's a lot. She's like, the other things you're getting are kind of heavy.
Okay.
Which in hindsight, we didn't realize
that
vegetables and hummus was going to be like bigger than our head.
Yeah, exactly. That was like a two-person meal.
Exactly. It was human. We couldn't finish all the food.
Yeah.
So they were definitely right to have us back off on our food.
Mm.
And then we enjoyed the wine so much that we decided to purchase four bottles to bring back with us.
For souvenirs.
Yeah. So as before we get to the check, I asked somebody behind the bar, can we get four bottles of wine? And she's like, four? Like, making sure I understand. And I'm like, they're gifts.
We're alcoholics.
Right, so the wine ended up costing more than the food did there.
Yeah.
But the wine bottles were like less than $9
each.
Still a great deal for the wine.
Including, we had four drinks there, four bottles of wine, and all that food. I think it was $79.
Yeah, it was an amazing deal.
Crazy.
So they loved us after we bought the wine. They gave us these little pins.
Oh, they gave us free pins that say La Fuerza.
Yes.
I am obsessed with this restaurant, and I deliberately got it for gifts, so I gave it to all my friends. And you need to go down there. So I highly recommend next time you're just riding the B train in Buenos Aires.
Yeah.
Get off at Dorrego and go to La Fuerza.
It's a great inaugural Know Your Stops. Okay,
Know Your
for
Stops.
Us. It might be the best one we ever do. Okay. We're setting the bar high.
I think so. We're setting the bar too high here. Probably.
All right. Well, thank you guys so much for listening.
Mm-hmm.
Be sure to tune in again soon for the continuation of our BA adventures.
Yeah, BA turn again soon. That makes
sense. And we know that all of you are booking your tickets to BA in the near future.
All right.
Bye.
Follow us on Subway Sagas. We're active again.
Yes, especially on Twitter. Check out our Twitter.
Yes, please.
Okay.
Bye.
Bye.